dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armour of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you've done everything, to stand. Stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet for salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions, with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for the Lord's people. Pray also for me, that whenever I speak, words may be given me, so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador of chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly, as I should.
Fantastic. Lord, this morning we just want to come and hear what you're saying to us, and I believe you've already been speaking to us about that sense of abiding in you. Lord, I pray that you would just take these words and, Lord, you would apply them to our lives, that we may become stronger in you and know you better. Father, I just pray that your Spirit would be with us now, in Jesus' name.
Amen.
So just a little bit of background. We felt over last year that we would be great to start the new year with an encouragement to strengthen in God, to develop our relationship with Jesus and know God better. To build our, what we say, our resilience and capacity, and to learn to live lives to become more like Jesus. I mean, that was our sense of heart with what we thought we wanted to look at as we came into the new year. And we were chatting about this the other night, and we really felt like it'd be useful to review the areas that we've looked at. I mean, we've had some great areas, and to look at our lives and apply. And then in the thinking about the coming weeks, we thought, well, it'd be good to look at the armour of God and see how that really impacts our lives. Before we then want to go on and look at who Jesus is as a servant, and then as we're coming up to Easter, we want to look at the role of redemption and the redemptive power of Jesus. Kind of, that's where we want to go to. So I was praying and thinking about how we approach the armour of God, which we said would actually be next week, because this week we would be reviewing where we've been. And as I was thinking about that, actually the two seem to fit quite nicely together. So I'm going to take a little bit of time to look at the armour of God, but I'm not going to go through each piece, but kind of give it a sort of a general overview of that. Next week, I would really like us to, we haven't got a speaker booked, you're all in. We'd like at least six people to share some story of how they've applied or used the armour of God in their own life. And we thought that would be really good. We'll put a bit of a time limit on that, so you know we all get a chance to hear and listen. So as we're going through today's talk, I'm going to ask you to think, that was me. I could do that. Now Phil's already used his, hasn't he? But come again. That was great. Thank you for sharing that. But it is kind of like this: how is God impacting our lives? And an opportunity to share. Bill, you can leave us a voice message. Okay. So just to look at, we'll look at the armour of God with the passage that Julian has read. It's from the book of Ephesians, and it speaks broadly about living in unity. And the book tells us about the work of Jesus in his redeeming and reconciling people to himself. It tells us about Jesus' victory over powers and authorities. And those powers and authorities that seek to destroy our unity. And thirdly, how do we live out our life relationally and how we grow in maturity? So that's what the book is about. And although it's only six chapters long, I think it's rich in showing us the way to live our lives. So these verses encourage us to be strong in the Lord that we might know his power. So that was in verse 10. So an example of that, and it's a very tenuous link, I admit, but when I was in my old job in the police, some people might come up and be a little bit abusive, a little bit threatening, and a little bit violent towards me or to my colleagues. Do you know what we used to go?
Wouldn't be.
I know, wasn't you. Because we would say, that's all right. Our gang is bigger than your gang. Our strength is bigger than your strength. And it's kind of like that sense of, well, we've got something bigger on our side that can overcome Ryan as he tries to be threatening, abusive and violent towards me. Once somebody stole my clip-on tie, they felt the whole force of my colleagues. But to the point being that we've got somebody behind us that's bigger and better. Another example may be that I was in the big market one Sunday evening. I don't think you were there. But Helen might have been, because Newcastle had beaten Chelsea. Yeah. And it was quite there were six of us on duty in the big market. There was only six of us. But there was 200 to 300 people who really felt that they were going to take the Newcastle from us. But our gang was bigger than theirs. And we had lots of people travelling to help us. And actually, the six of us quelled the crowd, you know, because the authority that we had, which is God. No, I'm relating that to God. The authority that we have in our lives, you know, can quell those things that disturb us. These verses also tell us and help us to recognise that there are spiritual forces. Paul is talking about here, those spiritual forces Paul is talking about here, Jesus says, I've already dealt with them. So we don't have to. Mm. You know? The enemy has schemes to try and disrupt us, but we've got a God who's on our side. And thirdly, it helps us to recognise what we're called to do in order to continue on to defeat the enemy, the enemy's schemes, personally and as a church. Remember, this book is about the unity of the church and how we can live in unity. So the big scheme of the enemy is to disrupt unity. The spiritual forces, Jesus died on the cross and defeated the powers of darkness in the world. And we're going to have communion later on to remember that he has the victory. These powers came into the world through, and we're described in the story of Adam and Eve, as they made a choice to put themselves at the centre and disobey God. They were deceived by the representative of a rebellion described as the snake or the deceiver or the Satan. Jesus defeated the snake, the Satan, and all spiritual powers through his death and resurrection. We don't need to do it again. In Colossians 2:15 it says, and having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. The spiritual forces in this book we're talking about are underlying forces that drove Adam and Eve away from God, the choices they made, the lies they believed. And these are the things that destroys the unity of the church, unity of the family, unity of the community. It is here we are urged to take our stand. The spiritual forces that may be manifest through people in institutions or through those self-seeking people who want power, these are things that are in opposition to the gospel, justice, love, and they breed fear, anxiety, and resentment, and we probably could go on. I mean, this could obviously be revealed in us. You know, we can find ourselves putting ourselves at the centre, wanting to be the centre of attention, putting my desires first. But this is how we used to live until we put on Jesus and put him at the centre of our lives by following and committing our ways to him and understanding what he's done for us. In Ephesians 4, verse 22 to 24, it says, you were taught, with regard to your former way of life, to put off your old self, which is corrupted by deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your life, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. We're new creations.
Yeah.
The spiritual forces that are spoken about here are those of deceit, are the deceitful ones, the ones that play out in the Garden of Eden. And I do just want to take a moment just to say, the Bible clearly speaks about other spiritual beings, Elohim, or gods with a small g.
Mm-hmm.
They're dealt with in other places, such as Genesis 6. And it's not, but it's not what we're looking at here today, because otherwise we've got off on a rabbit hole and we've got to end up somewhere else. But if you are interested and want to explore that more, can I suggest you listen to the Bible Project Classroom podcast? It's about an hour and 10 minutes long, and it talks about spiritual warfare, and I found looking at really, really helpful. So I will post a link to that in the chat group, because it just is really helpful. So just as Paul in Ephesians 4 talks about putting off the old self and putting on new, the armour of God also reflects putting on new garments, new garments for our lives, with an encouragement to stand firm, renewed in mind and body. We have to put on our new selves and take off the old. And Paul is using similar language. It's only a few verses away from each other. They're similar, putting on the new clothes, the new armour. We put on the armour being a metaphor that describes how we put on Jesus in our lives. We fully embrace Jesus, live lives that reflects his ways. The choices we make are part of a spiritual battle, but we choose to follow.
Mm-hmm.
This is what we have. This is what we've been focusing on the last few weeks. We've been called to stand firm. And in 1 Peter 5, 6 to 10, it reiterates the call to be alert and stand firm. And our focus in the last few weeks has been to make God the centre of our lives, to recognise that he is the one thing that we need. And we talked about Mary and Martha. Do you know what? I've heard this story repeated 5 times in the last at least since Christmas. 5 times. I think, what do you want to say to me? And do you know what? This is my bit for next week. Pre-Christmas, I think, and I've said to other people as we've been praying, how are you doing? Well, I'm doing okay, but I just feel like I've lost a sense of purpose, meaning and value in the things that I'm doing. You know, I'm just a bit, I wonder what God's got for me next. And I certainly want to be doing something. I want to be doing something. But as God spoke about this, the one thing, make the one thing, I felt that's about my own personal time with God. You know, generally I read my Bible first thing in the morning. That then gets interrupted by a dog walk, a run, busyness of the day. And I think I've said that in the past, you know. But I've made an intentional effort to stand in this, to make my time more protected, being more intentional. And do you know what? I feel more purposeful, more as if what I'm doing is the right thing, that I'm not being distracted, and feel better for it, because it gives me the bigger picture. So, you know, for me, putting on the armor of God, it would be the word, the sword, the word, you know, using the word, being equipped with the word. The other things we've talked about is about guarding our hearts. We want to let our lives and what we think, what do we let into our lives and what do we think about? Mm-hmm. What do we choose? What actions do we take in order to guard our hearts, which Hilton spoke about? To be led by the Spirit, listening to God and being faithful to follow and to learn, you know, being a church that manifests the power of God to extend the kingdom and to make Jesus known, being led by the Spirit, to love God even though we come through storms and trials, but to keep our focus on Him, and to love our neighbour, think about how Jesus lays down His life for us and how we might reflect Him as ambassadors, sharing love with our neighbours. The enemy uses lies, half-truths and gossip, slander, to break up unity between God and us and each other. And we're called to make a decision to stand firm against the enemy's schemes that seek to destroy relationship with the Lord, to rob us of that assurance, and being robbed of the power that God has to restore us to Himself. Mm-hmm. In Colossians 4:12, it says, Epaphras, who is one of you and a servant of Christ Jesus, sends greetings. He is always wrestling in prayer for you, that you may stand firm in all the will of God, mature and fully assured. In Psalm 18, verses 31 and 32, it says, "For who is God besides the Lord? And who is the rock except our God? It is God who arms me with strength and keeps my way secure." My gang is bigger than your gang. 2 Thessalonians 2:16 and 17 says, "May our Lord Jesus Christ Himself and God our Father, who loved us and by His grace gave us eternal encouragement and good hope, encourage your hearts, strengthen you in every good deed and word." So as Paul speaks about the armour of God, he is referencing back to the Hebrew Bible, thinking of the prophetic words about the Messiah, which describes the character of Jesus, because it's Jesus we're going to put on. The belt of truth around your waist. Isaiah 11:5 says, "Righteousness will be his belt, and faithfulness the sash around his waist. The shield of faith, which can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God." Isaiah 49:2. "He made my mouth like a sharpened sword. In the shadow of his hand he hid me. He made me into a polished arrow and concealed me in his quiver." The breastplate of righteousness, a helmet of salvation. Isaiah 59:17. He put on righteousness as his breastplate and the helmet of salvation on his head. And finally, the gospel of peace, that which is Jesus had been made alive to in the New Testament, Ephesians 5:2, it is by grace. The armour Paul is talking about is not some abstract thought, some disjointed thing, but it's an attitude and the character of Jesus that I'm being reminded to live in. We're called to be like Christ, to put him him first, to imitate him, be his ambassador in the world. This is the way that we defeat the enemy's schemes. We learn to become strong in faith and strong in Jesus as we walk without fear that the enemy's arrows can't hurt us. So overarching all of this is Paul's encouragement in Ephesians 6:18 to pray in the Spirit on all occasions, with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. So to conclude, really, to be alert for the enemy's schemes, because they are to destroy the unity, destroy relationship with God and with one another. But our God has defeated the enemy. He has placed them under his feet like a footstool. We're aware of his schemes and we are vigilant. We are taking action, praying for one another, putting Jesus at the centre, guarding our hearts, loving God and our neighbours, and we're putting our trust in Jesus. We are encouraging one another and spurring each other on in faith. So next week, we'd love to hear from at least six of you. Otherwise, it's going to be a very quiet session, meeting. How have we stood in one or more of these elements of God? How have we stood with him? We want to encourage each other with faith. So it's not about, oh, look what I've done. It's got, you know, you can do this as well. We're going to give a maximum of 5 minutes to that. Be great if you could tell me you've got something to say, otherwise I'll be okay. So we're going to go into a time of communion now. We're going to remember that Jesus defeated the enemy totally on the cross, and that death is defeated. As we take the bread and drink the wine, we do this together. Let's share and pray with one another. Pray into the areas that we are maybe struggling to stand, or pray for encouragement into those areas. Now, it has been suggested that the bread and wine's up there. Maybe we could go and I'll play some music, go and get some bread and wine, share it together, but also then make some time intentionally to get next to somebody and pray. And if you don't feel like you're able to pray, get to next to somebody and say how you feel about what you've heard, you know, and have a chat, talk about what you've heard. Does it mean anything to you? Okay, so if you love the Lord Jesus, we'd ask you to we're going to pray, and then where Bill is sitting, there's bread, there's wine, to share that. Okay. No, you don't have to. Only if you love the Lord. Okay. Would you pray then? Yeah.
Lord, I thank you for that reminder that you said it's finished when you died on the cross and rose again. Lord, that you disarm the evil influences over this world. And Lord, we recognise, Lord, that when you come back, it will be totally finished. Lord, I pray that you'll help us in this interim time, Lord, to stand firm. Lord, to know that our gang is so much bigger than the evil in this world, Lord, that we can stand firm in your salvation. And Lord, that you are with us. Lord, I thank you for that. Lord, I pray that you'll help us to remember what you actually did when you died and was crucified, Lord, to destroy the evil and the ugliness in this world. Help us now, Lord, as we meet together, as we share together in this communion. Amen.
It's all gluten free here. Yeah.